Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Australia. Today, once again, we find ourselves in the land down under. We have another Australian World Warrior from another Australian listener. And let me just say, I don't think any other listeners have so heartily embraced broad, cartoonish stereotypes of their own people quite as much as my Australian listeners have. And I appreciate that. It seems very Australian. So just sit back and enjoy this one. First of all, as always, we've got to go to the Street Fighter core book and talk about what it says about Australia. But this is just a refresher because we've talked about this before with Jackaroo, of course, the kangaroo centaur who practices Ru-Shu. But just as a reminder, the core book says there is not yet an Australian World Warrior as of the 90s, but street fighting is catching on in Australia. There are outback bars where the owners want to get entertainment in, and so they're doing street fights. But that's all it says. Nothing else about Australia. So we got a blank slate. Let's turn then to the listener who helped me out with today's episode, Kitty of Azeroth, a longtime listener of the show, someone I always enjoy interacting with on Twitter. Kitty gives us the following concept, and I'm quoting selectively here. This was sort of a back and forth discussion about what this character would be. Quote, the concept is of a Jackaroo, which in this case means an Australian cowboy, not a mutant kangaroo person. Salt of the earth, farming offsider, serious at work but loves a good yarn. Is good at wrestling due to his work with sheep and shearing. Doesn't kick because that's fighting like a girl. Likes Lee Kernaghan and Keith Urban. I know Keith Urban, kind of. I don't know Lee Kernaghan. Is fearful of that old bush tale immortalized in song in Pub with No Beer. Loves the song Duncan. I don't know these songs. Please enjoy, Australian listeners, as I say words I don't understand. Kitty also gave me some catchphrases for this character. Struth, said with a minimum of jaw movement and no facial movement between the jaw and the eyes. And also, fair crack of the whip. Now, presumably that's meant to be said in an Australian accent. And you know what? You're paying your good money on Patreon for this, so let me give it a try. Fair crack of the whip? How's that? Speaking of broad and inaccurate representations of Australia, overall, Kitty characterizes this character as, quote, a bit of a variation on Mick Dundee, but less of a flim-flam man. So what we got here is a cowboy, but there's an Australian flavor to it that I'm searching for. I get it, and I see that it's Australian, but not being from the country, it's hard for me to quite grasp, so we'll see how this goes. By the way, this is another one where the goofy character generation option, I'm deliberately concealing from you until it's time to reveal it. First of all, we need a concept. I'm going to write Australian cowboy just because I don't want to get confused when I go through these character sheets later and see Jackaroo. We don't really have a style for this character, but we know that he's good at wrestling because of his work with sheep. There are a number of grappling martial arts, but for a couple of different reasons that are going to become apparent, I'm going to go with one that's a bit of an outside choice, but I think it'll work out. It is Sanbo, the Russian wrestling style practiced by Zangief. I feel like somebody's got to be doing Sanbo in Australia. Let's check out Wikipedia. In this case, Wikipedia does not disappoint. Apparently, there is a region called something like Illawarra, and it says here, after outlining the region's sporting history in rugby, basketball, association football, and cricket, that in 2012 and 2014, two clubs, Highland Sambo and Southern Sambo, Sanbo is sometimes known as Sambo, one is with an N, one is with an M, one is also, unfortunately, a derogatory racial term. The point is, this wrestling style, which is originally Russian, I think, is practiced by two separate wrestling clubs in Illawarra, and they sent athletes to the World Sambo Wrestling Championships. So I am vindicated in my belief that someone somewhere in Australia is practicing Sanbo, and this Australian cowboy is one of them. Finally, to get started with this character, we need a name. Kitty hasn't provided me with one here, so I'm going to go ahead and just do a little bit of a name scramble on some of the names here in this sports section for Illawarra, and try to come up with something that sounds like a cowboy. So looking at some famous footballers from the Illawarra area, We got a first name Rod. That sounds a bit like an Australian cowboy, I guess. Ooh, Gary Jack. I'm just taking this name wholesale. I don't care if he's a famous footballer. Mind you, Gary Jack's already pretty good as a full name, but the Gary has two R's. That's sweet. Tell me that's not an Australian cowboy. Gary Jack. Possibly Gary Jack is too famous in Australia for me to make a character with that name for an Australian audience, but for a global audience, I feel safe in saying most of us don't know or care who Gary Jack is. So, sorry, Gary Jack, you're a cowboy now. Moving on to attributes, of course, physical has to be primary. I'm going to go with a bit of a surprise on this one and do Dex as the strongest. I've done a lot of high strength or high stamina wrestlers so far. I want to get away from that, and I think it's, since he's out after sheep, sheep aren't like the strongest animals, but to be humane and efficient, I think he's got to be quick. So dexterity 4, strength 3, stamina 3. Strong and tough, but especially quick. He seems to be a man of few words, and there's no mention made of him being especially attractive, so I'm going to make mental his secondary, and I'm going to do perception 3, intelligence 2, wits 3. Quick thinking, perceptive, not easily conned, but a simple salt of the earth person, as Kitty writes. Social is going to be tertiary, and I think this is a character who does not know all the social graces. So I'm going to go with manipulation 3, appearance 2, and charisma 1. I think he's got a good poker face. I think he might be able to intimidate people, but I don't think he necessarily makes a good impression. He's a little rough around the edges. Moving on now to abilities. Let's be frank. I have no idea what it takes to be a cowboy. I don't even really watch westerns. My context for this is basically the old television series Paladin and Brokeback Mountain. And what I know about cowboys from those portrayals is that they wear all black, they eat fancy food from hotels in San Francisco, and they have poignant love affairs that start with rough anal. I'm scouring this character sheet and I'm not finding any of that. So I'm way out of my element. I'm going to go ahead and make talents primary. I don't think this character goes in for book learning too much. I get 9 points here, and so I'm just going to put 3 points each in alertness, intimidation, and subterfuge. Kitty writes that this isn't a flim-flam man, and that's not what I'm going for with all this subterfuge. I just think the lack of facial expression, the steeliness and the mood swings, I just think this is a hard person to read. For secondary, we're going to do knowledges. We're going to do one arena. I sort of have an idea that this character, because he practices a style that isn't native to Australia and that isn't, it really is something he would have learned from an individual. Like there was an individual Sanbo teacher in Australia who would definitely have taken him under his wing. So I think he knows some background information about the Street Fighter circuit. So he's got arena one. For a similar reason, he has style lore 2. He's learned how to wrestle against different styles. He's got mysteries 2 because he's in the outback, and any place you don't have city adventures, you have exotic cryptid slash magical adventures. That's how Street Fighter goes. Finally, 2 dots of medicine from being self-sufficient, taking care of animals. Finally, on tertiary, we've got skills, 2 dots of drive, 2 dots of survival. I guess that's a cowboy. Moving on. Four backgrounds. What we've got here is really an isolated person. You know, he's a farmer in the outback, not a lot of connections, not exactly pulling the levers of social power, right? So it's hard to really connect him to anything. He's not famous. So I think I'm going to invest heavily in this sensei character. In fact, I'm going to do something that's recommended in the book and make the sensei and the manager the same character. So I'm going to do resources 2. This is somebody who's making a decent living and can afford to take a chance on street fighting. Then I'm going to do 1 dot in manager and 2 dots in sensei. But this will be going up later with freebie points. This is going to be a Sanbo coach who is in sort of a Mighty Ducks situation where like the scrappy Australian team was for sure not going to win the World Sanbo Championships. So he had to go out and scout around Australia for scrappy Australians with Australian know-how who could really make a go of it doing this like tough traditionally European wrestling style. He runs across our man Gary Jack out in the outback wrestling sheep, juggling them, hustling him around, and thinks, I can work with this. I can mold this guy into a true champion. He has what it takes. And so he really takes him under his wing and Mighty Ducks him. I don't know how else to say it. Whips him into shape. But Gary Jack is not some pliable young duck. He's a full-grown cowboy. So this is not like a drill instructor, break you down kind of situation. I think drawing on my vast store of like 80s and early 90s cheesy movie tropes, I think this is a scenario where the grizzled, eye-patched, old Russian wrestling coach comes and discovers this guy and tries to get him on the team, thinking that Australians are inferior. He's mad that he ended up out here in the outback trying to teach these uncouth Australians how to wrestle. But then it's Gary Jack who brings him around to appreciate the Australian like national spirit and the toughness of Australians until the two become like the best of friends. Maybe his mentor slash sensei isn't much older than him, but is somebody who like had an injury and can't compete anymore. So he's just the next generation up from Gary Jack. They probably met at one of those Outback bars where street fighting was scheduled that we read about in the core book. Finally, the core book has been useful to us. It was one of those Outback bars. The proprietor is desperate for entertainment. They schedule street fighting. Gary Jack enters. Probably he was just there to drink. And then he saw the local talent, was like, hell, I'll get in there. Gary Jack scouts him and then, you know, rolls over to him in his wheelchair or whatever with his eye patch on and signs him up to fill this spot that he desperately needs to fill in the wrestling team. And maybe initially the manager slash sensei doesn't approve of street fighting because it's not traditional Sanbo, but then he eventually gets into it. Yeah, everybody's seen this movie. There's no need to elaborate further. So anyway, now we kind of got a hook for this character into the street fighting world. Moving on to techniques. Obviously, grab is the biggest one. We're going to do grab 3. We're not going to do kick because that's girl fighting per Kitty's instructions. We are going to do athletics, and we're going to do a lot of it. We're going to do athletics 3. Again, this is somebody who's strong, but also fast and mobile, and that's his secret weapon. That leaves 2 points, one for block, one for punch. Little bit of striking, but Gary Jack is pretty much exclusively a grappler. All right, now it's time to make it happen. We're on to special maneuvers, and there's a particular one that I really want to get. We'll see what form I end up getting it in. Kitty was kind enough to supply me a particular signature move for Gary Jack. Quote, special move is basically a pile driver where the tests are within biting range. I don't know if that's a typo or if Australians call testicles tests, but in any case, it's a pile driver where he's close enough to bite your balls, is the point. The reason we needed a particular special move for this character is because of a very weird rule from the core book, which I almost feel like must have come up in playtesting, but it doesn't really seem like that. On closer analysis, it seems like a hypothetical situation that the author felt the need to address. One of those situations where the game's designer is just convinced that role players are the worst and feels the need to hedge against this. The thing is, when you take a special move, you can choose to take an activation word, like how Ryu and Ken will say Hadouken when they throw a fireball, right? This has pros and cons. Quote, using this rule, whenever a character wants to use a certain special maneuver, he must yell out that power's activation word. During combat, the player must yell out the activation words during combat. The advantage is that if the player uses the activation words, the character will win an additional point of glory if he wins the combat. However, a fighter who uses activation words must say them whenever the power is used. The power cannot be used without the activation words. If the character is gagged and cannot speak, suffers laryngitis, or is involved in a stealth operation, yelling activation words to activate powers becomes more difficult. So, if somebody gags you, then you can't say Hadouken, and it turns into this fumble-around scene where you've got to get somebody to take your gag off so you can throw a fireball, right? Like a Golden Age issue of Captain Marvel, where Billy Batson is all tied up and gagged. Was that a fetish thing, like the Wonder Woman comics? I hope not. I love Captain Marvel. I don't want it to be dirty. Not like Golden Age Wonder Woman, which I love and I do want to be dirty. Anyway, that's not really the goofy character generation option. It's pretty goofy, but it's standard Street Fighter. You gotta yell words to throw your fireballs and do your hurricane kicks. But what happens if a player chooses dirty words? Quote, if the activation words are inappropriate or vulgar, the character will lose honor each time they are used. Not a one-time ding for choosing a dirty name for your move, no. Every time you use that move, you must yell it at the table. The rules don't change on that. But you will lose an honor every time you do. You're a bad person for saying a bad word every time you do your fireball or your kick or whatever. So Kitty, in helping me with this project, was tasked with finding a special move for Gary Jack and coming up with a vulgar thing to say, a vulgar phrase that he yells when he uses this move, and that the player would have to yell at the table. This was a delicate procedure. We didn't want to choose something that I didn't want to say on the podcast, but it needed to be bad enough. Like, initially I had to prod Kitty a little bit because we wanted something that a room full of people who came to watch an illegal blood sport would hear you say and say, that's a little off, isn't it? Isn't that a little much? I mean, drive the man's head into the concrete, certainly. Bite his testicles if you must. But to say those words, it simply isn't done. So that was a delicate procedure. Finally, we came up with something that I think works. The move is the pile driver, and the activation phrase, the battle cry, is, here comes the mad cunt. This seemed just right because as a podcast fan, I know that in other countries that are not the United States, people just say the word cunt like any other curse word that you say all the time. like in America, you would say, hey, look at that motherfucker over there. I wish that motherfucker would come over here. Hand me that motherfucker over there, right? It's no big, it doesn't even matter. What you do not do in the United States is say casually of someone, look at that cunt. It is a much heavier word. You are writing with the big fat Sharpie on that one, my friend. For that reason, cunt is kind of my favorite curse word. I understand that it's embattled. I understand that it's politically difficult. It's not a word that I casually use. But for my vocabulary, and I curse less in my normal life than I do on this podcast, but for my normal life, I have no nuclear option. I have nowhere to go for a word that is shocking, except for cunt. It's that little bit heavier, just on the level of appreciating language. I like that that word's existence gives me some headroom. But that's different from other countries. I know that it's not as big a deal in Australia or in the UK. Therefore, here's what I think happens. I think Gary Jack, he's a guy who likes to have some fun. He likes to come at you with that pile driver. He's cutting loose. It's his day off, right? He's not like some of these people who are street fighting for their lives. He's a guy who just loves to crack some heads and have a good time upon a Friday night. And so he comes at you with that pile driver. He's had a little to drink. And so he yells out, here comes the mad cunt. Once again, please appreciate my Australian accent. Your Patreon dollars at work. I'm proud to announce that for every additional $5 I receive to the Patreon this week, I will say cunt in an Australian accent one more time. You're welcome. Anyway, he charges at somebody saying, here comes the mad cunt, like, look out for me, I'm a crazy guy. And that's fine in Australia, and he gets a reputation for it. He likes to say it. It's his battle cry. Then he starts traveling around the world, right? His manager slash sensei starts getting him some international bookings. And these crowds are not used to hearing this word in this context. They do not hear, here comes the wild crazy guy. They interpret it as, oh no, here comes his signature move, the mad cunt. Why would he call it that? What does it even mean? Are we to imagine a vulva with wiry white hair holding a flux capacitor? We don't even understand this phrase. It doesn't parse for us. But what we know for sure is it's not the sort of thing you're supposed to yell, even in an underground blood sport establishment. So that's why he loses honor every time. He refuses to stop saying it, even though every time people are just like, ugh. It's like, I don't know if you, dear listener, have ever had this in your personal life or like maybe in some kind of performance that you do. Occasionally for me, I fall in love with doing something that I think is funny and I know other people don't think it's funny. And that just makes it better and I refuse to give it up. That's where we are with Gary Jack here. Once he got out of Australia and people started kind of clutching their pearls when he would yell, here comes the mad cunt every time, it just made him love it more. And now he yells it even louder with more relish. So he's just continually bleeding honor, but he refuses to give it up. Anyway, I said all that to say he needs to have a pile driver. And I'd love for it to be, or if maybe if not at first, to eventually build up to be a spinning pile driver like Zangief has. And only Sanbo gives you that. So let's take a look at these rules and see if I can get the spinning pile driver. The answer is yes, just barely. I first got to take jump. Undoubtedly, Gary Jack trained by chasing sheep as they leapt over progressively higher fences. Eventually, he learned how to jump like a street fighter. From there, he learned the pile driver. The jump cost me 1 point, the pile driver cost me 2. And then from there, he picked up the spinning pile driver, which costs 4 points. That means I've now spent all of my special maneuver points, plus I got to go put an additional point in grab with freebie points. So I'm down to 10 freebie points, but I've got that spinning pile driver. This is a hell of a move, as you know, if you've played the Street Fighter video game. Huge damage. You can move 2 spaces before you hit him with it, which is pretty good for a grab. Yeah, spinning pile driver is great. Now I've got to try to sort of shore up the rest of this character with freebie points. I've got 10 freebie points left. I don't need any more backgrounds. I don't need any more abilities. I could invest in attributes if I want to, but I think I'd really rather flesh out the repertoire because I've basically got one big move right now, the pile driver and the spinning pile driver, aka the mad cunt. You're not going to hear me say this word in a lot of episodes, so I'm just getting them all out. Buckle in. Hold on to your cunts. We need some other moves. What else does Sanbo offer that would be appropriate to a sheep cowboy? I want Gary Jack to be fast, and the spinning pile driver isn't as slow as you would think, but it's still pretty slow. I think I'm going to go with the suplex. That's sort of the classic solution to this very problem. It is a fast grab move. And the suplex described in the core book is more or less like a German suplex. But, you know, it's not mechanically differentiated from other suplexes, so I can make it whatever kind of suplex I want. And not to brag, but I know an awful lot of fakey suplexes. Looking for a little inspiration, I'm checking out Wikipedia for Australian suplex. And as it turns out, apparently at Super J Cup 2009, which was a pro wrestling event, for those of you who don't care about pro wrestling, Tiger Mask was defeated with an Australian suplex. I didn't know there even was an Australian suplex. It might be apocryphal. This is Wikipedia. But in any case, I'm going to modify on this character sheet suplex to suplex parentheses Australian. And either that means something, or it means nothing and therefore can mean whatever we want. In any case, hooray for Australia. Aussie, 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 etc., etc., etc. That does it for freebies. We're slightly out of order here. There's renown to do as well. I'm just going to put all 3 points in glory for this guy. He's not going to be able to hold on to any honor. He doesn't need chief or anything. So there we go. And that's about it, except for the miscellanea. We don't really have a detailed appearance from Kitty for this character, but I think we understand the type, right? As Kitty said, a Mick Dundee type. This is like an outback cowboy farmer type character. I think the hat's important. So I think you got that like distinctive hat, and it definitely stays on. Like if I'm imagining this as a video game, it stays on the sprite, but it's always like bouncing around and slouching off to the side and kind of like coming up and then down again when he jumps, but it's always staying on. And he's a burly dude, but wiry, not like a big massive sprite like some of these other characters, but like a real strong, muscular, toned kind of character, which goes with him being a little bit on the faster side. Very weathered like face and skin is the way I'm seeing it. As for equipment, I think you gotta have the big knife for the Crocodile Dundee reference, but other than that, I don't see him having a lot. Kitty gave us some quirks, loving the song Duncan, some catchphrases. I think Fair Crack of the Whip is pretty good as a catchphrase. And of course, we've got our battle cry. Here comes the mad cunt. But finally, we need a signature or victory pose. The signature here is tough because this character is kind of reserved. Like he likes to have fun, but I think like the simple salt of the earth aspect argues against a flamboyant victory pose. So, you know, I was joking about it earlier, but I think I'm going to go with the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie chant, because this is a very Australian character. He's in this relationship with his sensei where he's kind of standing up for the value of Australian people and like their ways and their outlook in life. So he's more of a nationalistic character, not just a symbol of the nation. And it like takes the focus off of him and makes it a celebration for the crowd, which seems appropriate. So yeah, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. And then he's out, probably by everybody around. Yeah, sounds good. So Kitty elected to grade me via Twitter DM, and I'm going to quote here selectively because some of this is Kitty very kindly telling me that some of my jokes are funny. I feel that quoting to you, dear listener, someone else quoting my jokes and saying that they are funny would be self-indulgent, even by the standards of this podcast. Quote, I'm halfway through and crying. Gary Jack is a great choice, and he is famous. Pub with no beer will show you how close you got to a lot of things. And there's a link here to Pub with No Beer and also to Duncan, two songs I had not heard. I'm going to check these out and I will link these two songs on Twitter as well. So you can go check out the Twitter if you want to hear these and get the full picture on Gary Jack. Finally, Kitty writes, there can be only one grade for this, A++. That is the best grade I've gotten on any of these, except for maybe, nice. I appreciate both. I'll treasure them always. Join me next time as a challenger appears on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you, who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Sawsquare Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.